are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And we have Cool Wazza in the building.
Hello.
God, wild. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you
How's
doing,
your
T-Mac?
Week been?
My week has been great. Yeah, it's been great.
All right, so today we're going to be kind of following on from last week's episode, which was all about Christmas. I really liked that episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It was really good. So we're talking about... Today, we're talking about perceptions, our perceptions of things as framed by media and tradition and culture, etc., etc. So, I mean, last week, obviously, the focus was Christmas, and we all have this perception of, oh, okay, so... Well, those Christians who then do the nativity plays, it's always Mary with little baby baby Jesus, and there's Joseph by the side, but they're always white, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, if you think of it historically, was he really white? We don't know. So that's kind of some of the things we'll be discussing today. These perceptions that we have, mainly from media, Western powers.
Yeah. I think one of the ones for me that's always been... a tricky one is growing up, we were always shown this picture of Jesus as this very like fair-skinned guy with long hair, and almost everyone pictures Jesus like that, or rather a lot of people. Each time Jesus is depicted, even in cartoons, it's always the guy with the long hair and the white robe. And I know the Bible does talk about, you know, him wearing a white robe, but I just think there's something about it that's like, okay, so those are the kinds of things we want to talk about today, to say, is that actually accurate, or is that just a picture that was imposed on us? And how does that affect our worship? You know, does it affect it in any way? Does it matter? Should it matter?
It doesn't. Well, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Really.
So today we've got Cool Wazza, and we're going to be talking about this. So let's dive into it.
Yeah, so actually, why don't we just start there? Because actually last week we were talking about how Father Christmas obviously is this rather overweight white man, but here in Africa he's like a skinny black owned, like the Father Christmas that you see at the shopping center looks wrong. Like he just looks like, dude, like clearly you're doing this with the money. You are not typecast at all. Like they just found you there. Like, yeah. So it's kind of that cognitive dissonance that happens for a kid where it's like, but is this really Father Christmas? I don't think so. Doesn't fit the idea you have.
Yeah.
So similarly, if you didn't display it with a with a black Jesus, which I have seen on some churches that do that.
Yeah.
You just think, but why are they trying to force the guy? He wasn't black. But we don't really know. What was he? Like, really?
No one really knows.
No one really knows. But there is that thing that, what's it called? The towel that wipes his face, and then his face was imprinted on the towel. Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
It's not a real thing.
What's that thing?
It's a legend.
But they call it the what?
The Shroud of Turin.
Yes, the Shroud of Turin.
All this time I thought it was real. Maybe it's because I grew up Catholic. But...
yeah. That's why. Exactly why.
Oh, okay. Cool. But what... So... that's actually got no basis in reality. Because then that's what made me think that clearly he looked like this thing. With this
The shroud itself is just a, you know, it's like a, what do you call it? Like when you brand something, that's what it looks like. I mean, you don't get to see the person's features color off that.
Yeah.
So Jesus would probably have been brown in color, in his skin color, because of the climate in which, you know, even where he lived, very hot and everything, Middle East. Was not white.
But those guys aren't brown. Middle Eastern people.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Those ones wear the dukes.
Yeah, those ones.
Guys, they're not brown.
So I'll tell you what. This is very interesting. I was having a conversation with a gentleman a few weeks ago who's into history and all of this stuff. And we're talking. And he's a very, you know, very passionate Pan-African kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's a banker.
Yeah.
And he says to me, Kuda, do you know that... there's been a lot of propaganda through the years to try and basically diminish the black man.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Whenever someone says, bro, propaganda, I just struggle to keep a straight face.
Why, because of that propaganda, I don't...
The joke about Michael Jackson.
What's wrong with you?
Anna propaganda. I'm sorry. This comes back to you every time someone...
T-Mac, it's okay. So, anyway...
This is not making the recording, I'm sure.
That needs to make the recording. So, basically... So, this guy says to me, Jesus was actually dark-skinned. I was like, okay. And he says, if you look... He gave me some explanation, right? But then he goes on to say, part of the... that Joseph... Who was the guy who carried... who was... forced basically to carry Jesus' cross, to help Jesus carry the cross. That was
Simon
of Cyrene. So he says, do you know that Simon of Cyrene was black?
He was.
Yeah, right? And he's always black, like when they depict him.
And he says the reason why they forced him to carry the cross was because he's the one who looked like Jesus the most. So they're like, help your homie.
Or you. That people bystanders wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But yeah, it's not.
Yeah, something like that.
It's not the offense.
Okay. And he gave some other explanation. And then I just thought, okay, this is actually very interesting. But here's my point. My point is that isn't it funny that it's actually very difficult for us to picture. Okay, it's easier. And I don't want to turn this into a racial thing. But it's why is it easier for us to picture a white Jesus with long hair and Didi? Looking like Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
Right? And why is it easier for us to do that? And much more difficult for us to picture Jesus who's got darker skin.
Yeah, because the white Jesus has been around since around about 300 AD, when Rome, Constantine, converted to Christianity, and
merged. He responsible for that too? We had beef with him last week.
Yes, well, he's responsible. Well, you see, because of the Catholic Church, a lot of these things have been brought in because of, you know, how the Catholic Church tried to merge a lot of the things that are coming out of Roman culture with Christianity.
Right.
So, for example, and we'll talk about this, I think, where Christmas came from anyway.
Yeah.
It was some pagan holiday that the Romans had. And so Constantine thought, hey, why go counterculture? Why make people, you know, go into this new thing when you have stuff already that we're doing, and then we can just basically superimpose, rebrand, if you like, some festivities like Jesus's birthday or whatever onto some feast that they used to have during the winter solstice, which is around the, December the 25th and so on. So along with that, just also, I think what they were successful at doing was recreating Christianity in their own image. Yeah, and so their own festivities, their own seasons, the times that they would, you know, do stuff, that's when, you know, then they say, okay, so we're going to do this, and then you guys are Christians, this is how the church is going to do everything. So they just really, and that's why Christ is made white, because they were white. So it was a reimagining of Christianity in their own image.
In their own context.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then they exported that. So whoever exported it would take it wherever they went. And so your Robert Moffat comes here, Father Silveira, all these guys in the early or mid 1500s, they bring Christianity here. They bring a white Jesus, a white Mary, and Jesus with that heart and the thorns around it.
What was up with that thing?
Yeah.
What
was that? The Sacred Heart.
My mom actually has that picture in her lounge.
Yeah.
A lot of, well, I'd say maybe, I don't know, 40%?
Can I just be honest? I don't mean to be disrespectful, right?
But go ahead and be disrespectful.
I've looked at that picture a couple of times and I'm like, well, you know, just like okay, but
just like a meek
lamb. Okay, he does not look like a carpenter, like a dude who was lifting up logs and pieces of wood.
Okay, he's not a lumberjack.
Hammering.
He wasn't a lumberjack. He was a,
you know, there's a whole theory around why men don't go to church much. And part of it is because Jesus. The Jesus that's presented is an effeminate Jesus. He's got a lamb in his hands or, you know, across his shoulders. And that appeals more.
Man.
Yeah, he's not a man's man. It appeals more to the ladies than it does to a guy. But so it's not attractive to men.
Yeah.
You know, because men want to follow men. You know, if Jesus was Butch, imagine if there was a Jesus who's muscled up and toned up and, you know, with 5 o'clock, whatever they call it, you know, shave and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the impact that that would have. I mean, even if you reimagine the stories, or not reimagine, but retell them, not even retell them, but tell them in their proper context and be a bit imaginative in the way that you tell them. You know, you're talking about a fisherman, he's on the sea and it's rough out in the waters and he's asleep and everyone's going crazy. You know, it's not the kind of thing you'd associate with an effeminate person. You know, he's very brave, he's very bold, he's taking on people all the time.
Yeah.
And it takes that kind of retelling of the story to get men interested. So, but that's just a study that other guys did.
Right.
And so you see how that can affect a lot of things.
Yeah.
The way that Jesus is portrayed affects how people would want to be a part of what he's
about. And I will say, you know, I think The Passion of the Christ was actually the first movie, the first Jesus movie that I saw, where Jesus is presented as, you know, as a hunk, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
But he was wearing mud.
Yeah. You look up, but then when he takes off the shirt and when he's getting whipped, I know that... that scene is a bit gruesome, but I'm just saying, I was like, okay, no, that makes more sense. Whereas all the other movies that have been done in the past, he's just like this very soft guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, if you just touch him, he's going to break or something. You know what I mean?
So the whole point of the discussion we're having is that we want to talk about how those perceptions have affected the way we view God and the way we worship God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So... another one that I can that I'm going to bring in is
Before we go further, that's Jesus, right? But then there's also how do we imagine God? For me, he's like, what's that dude from Lord of the Rings? Gandalf.
Gandalf.
The long white beard and stuff. Yeah.
He's a wizard.
Hey, bruh, but I mean, in every cartoon or like movie where they're trying to portray God. What's it, Bruce Almighty or whatever? They'll have a white man with a long white beard, not quite as overweight as Santa, but you know, somewhere there.
I was happy when they used Morgan Freeman. I was like, yeah, finally.
But yeah, generally, but didn't that have a bit of cognitive dissonance for you? Like
initially,
how is it a black dude?
Huh? Oh, the Shaq now. That yeah, the Shaq takes it to a whole nother level.
That's a really good book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, where did that come from? Thinking that God is this white man in the sky with a white beard.
Yeah. So again, I think the issue you have with mankind is this thing in which, and I think that is in itself a reflection of the hearts of men, of trying to put God in our box, to make God understandable and accessible.
Right.
You know, of course, God is accessible, but there is something about God that makes him... you know, transcendent. Mm-hmm. He is not the guy who lives on your street. He is so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to kind of tame or to understand him or to domesticate God, as it were, to say, okay, here's, if my son were to ask me, what does God look like? I need to be able to tell him what God looks like or give him an idea. People have nothing else, but the reference point is what's around them.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's a wise person. So wisdom must be very old, ancient of days. Mm-hmm. This old man with a flowing beard. And some of it is also influenced by some of the imagery that the Bible uses out of the visions. Like if you look at Daniel 7, the vision that he saw of the ancient of days seated on the throne, he had a white beard as well, white as wool.
He?
Yes. But that was just like an image. It's like it's a vision.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the prophets and you look at the things that they see different things depending on what God is revealing to them.
Yeah.
You never see the same thing. So people tend to reimagine stuff in terms of the culture that they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically he then becomes Sekuru because he's wise.
Yes.
And when you look at the Bible, I've often wondered also that if God is so beyond anything that we can... think, right, or imagine, and there's no earthly analogy that we can actually use that would equate to who God is. I think it would make sense for even the prophets to want to use something within their context to depict God, to say his hair looked like what, like this, or you know what I mean, or in Revelation where John is saying his voice was like the sound of many waters.
Yeah.
All of that kind of stuff, because he was trying to find something within his context that he could use to describe
what he just
what he was seeing. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it makes sense because you can't, you know, you struggle to have language for things you've never seen before. You know, so you're always going to use what is familiar something to explain like, that, which
or
is
metaphors
yeah.
or similes. Yeah,
exactly. So it was like, so when Ezekiel is speaking in Ezekiel 1, he says, this is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. So he's giving you, the vision is an appearance, right?
Right.
It's an appearance of a likeness.
It's not even the
It's not thing. Even, so it's just an approximation of an approximation.
Mm.
And so, because God is so on another scale that we just don't have language to describe him.
Yeah.
And so he even helps us, gives us lion of the tribe of Judah. Then I saw a lamb that was like, looking like it was slain, sitting on the throne, trying to help us, you know, to right. understand and to get on his street. Oh, a lamb. Okay, let me have a look at a lamb. What does a lamb look like? Oh, gentle, all this kind of thing.
All right. So I wanna move swiftly along.
Sweet.
Because I want us to move on to the bad guy. The devil.
Yeah.
Because the devil has always been depicted as this guy with horns and a tail and this pitchfork, right?
Yeah.
Even on the man you just...
Red yeah. devils.
And the red devil.
You men, you support them.
Yeah. Hmm? What's wrong with
yeah, you? Yeah, you took it there. Okay. Us gunners are cool.
You know?
There.
Yeah.
The book of Ezekiel,
mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting the chapter, and Kwaza, maybe you can help me here, gives this description of Lucifer and who he was,
mm-hmm.
right? And how he was this
chapter 28.
Beautiful creature and there were all these sophisticated
yeah.
things
about
that
him.
He was made up of.
Yeah.
So what I want to understand now is that it appears that the Bible describes Lucifer as this fair creature,
mm-hmm.
stunning creature, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Isusu, we know him as this ugly dude with the pitchfork.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that actually what causes some of the deception, right?
Well, uh-huh.
where we're thinking the devil is this nasty guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet the dude is actually like
presents himself totally different.
Yeah.
As something attractive.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's not something that will be overtly ugly when you look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason that people have that, and you know, like a lot of caricatures are not caricatures that are coming out of nowhere. They have some basis and some truth.
But for the yeah. benefit of our listeners, can you just explain what a caricature is?
Okay, that's something that, yeah, where someone exaggerates some aspects of a character to, you know, illustrate or to put across a point that they want to make.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well done.
So ending up distorting a character
right.
to make a point that they want to make. All right. And so those distortions, let me say that. Many times based on what the Bible actually shows.
Right.
So yes, Satan had all those qualities, but he was thrown out of heaven. He's away from the presence of God. And you'd expect that if someone is taken out of the presence of God, something happens to their appearance, something happens to them. And you see the Bible starts off with him, appearing in the garden as a serpent. But at the end in Revelation 12, you see him being spoken of as a dragon. An ugly beast with seven heads. It's just, you know, something that you can't even look at, you know, or you don't even look at. It's just horrible.
Yeah, even trying to picture it right now.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So that's where the pitchfork and horns and the tail come from. And, you know, he's depicted in Revelation 12 pursuing this woman who had just given birth to a male child, and she's running away, and he's going after her. So you see that change throughout the Bible in the way that he's depicted. But in terms of appearing, so there's what he really is,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and then what he comes across as. So he has the capacity, yes, mm-hmm. to, as Paul said, masquerade. So even the devil masquerades as an angel of light. So he can appear very beautiful. He can, you know, he can put it on.
Right.
Yes, it were. But what you see in Revelation is what it truly is at the end of the age now, when he's away from the presence of God and he's had all these encounters where he's been defeated by angels and the Holy Spirit is having a go at him, and this is what he is now.
But don't you think, like, for example, I'm sure we all used to watch Tom and Jerry, and whenever Tom would be having those moments of realization. I mean, we need to have like the one angel
on the one shoulder,
and then the other little kind of devilish one.
Yes.
And it just makes you start to think that, because the angel one always won.
So, yes.
So you start to think, ah, okay, devil, okay, I kind of did it. Like,
yeah.
It's almost sanitizes the devil and makes him seem like this powerful, puny little clown almost, because in most cartoons he's just depicted as a clown.
Yeah.
So, or Cow and Chicken, I don't know if anyone used to watch that.
My Pet Monster.
Yeah. And like,
stuff like that.
He doesn't seem harmful.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
Yes, he can make you, he's always portrayed as the bad side.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like he's all that powerful.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good thing, that we shouldn't really view him as having that much power. Mm-hmm. But I do think that media's sort of sanitized him so that we think, the dude, I mean, really, he doesn't make me do anything.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I mean, you have things like, you know, I said something on social media. I don't know, was it Facebook or Twitter? I forget. Out of my own reflections, I was thinking about this phrase that people say a lot, particularly British guys. You know, if you listen to a lot of newscasts and stuff, they'll say, but the devil is in the detail.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, stuff like that. The devil is in the detail. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought, no, but the truth is that it is God who is in the detail and not the devil. And you have all these throwaway phrases, speak of the devil, you know, someone's walking in.
Devil's advocate.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and
are you driven by your inner demons?
Exactly. What the hell? You know what I mean? What the hell? You know what hell looks like? Do you know what it is? You know where people go now, there?
It doesn't seem like it. Doesn't,
yeah.
Like it's just a phrase now. It doesn't seem like an actual place.
You see now.
Yeah.
So these are things that the enemy also is working on to sanitize. And that's why I keep reminding people that the only story that Jesus ever told, you know, in the Bible that wasn't a parable because it had actual names, people that actually, like it was a historical account, was the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about the rich man being in hell. Mm-hmm. And because he wanted to show the reality of hell, that it is a real place where real people go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not this place that has just been created so that people can say, oh, you know, how do you make holy water? Boil the hell out of it. Ha, ha, ha. And it's a big joke. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
You know, and people have a laugh, and this is and this plays into the devil's hands,
right?
Because the devil is comfortable when either you make too much of him,
or you make too
light of him. Yeah, he's comfortable with both extremes.
Yeah,
because they, you know, on one hand, you're afraid and you're bound,
right?
And on the other hand, you are careless and you're flippant. And he can come in and sneak in when you least expect it.
So would you say, like, phrases like that, like saying, what the hell?
Yeah.
Should you put that on the same level as using God's name in vain? Not like, because God is God.
Yeah, look,
but
I think...
But like, as in, we shouldn't just say these things.
I think what we're doing tonight is very important.
Yeah.
Is dealing with perceptions as part of that, is reimagining our language in terms of what the scripture actually says. And now I won't even talk about hell or whatever, just to bring it to something even more harmless that people say all the time, even Christians.
Yeah.
If someone has died, they say, may their dear soul rest in peace, right? But that doesn't make sense if you are a Christian who believes the Bible. Because if you die and you are in Christ, you are asleep and you've gone to be with the Lord. If you die and you're not in Christ, there is no rest for the wicked, the Bible says.
Mm.
So no matter how much you may say, may their dear soul rest in peace, there is no resting in peace if they're not in Christ. So these are the kind of things that we do, and it's subconscious. We pick it up. We see it in the newspaper. My uncle used to say it. We grew up saying it. And we don't think it through and say, okay, what does this make sense in light of what the Bible says about hell? What the hell? You know, does that make sense? I'm just playing devil's advocate. Would you really want to be in a court of law in heaven, being an advocate for the devil, and, you know, saying, no, he doesn't need to go to, don't punish him because, you know, he's a great guy. Would you want to be doing that? You know what I mean? It's, and that's how, you know, we just import things. The Bible says that a man who says something negative and then says, I'm just joking, is like a madman or a fool who's got firebrands and is, just firing, you know, firebrand arrows, you know. But you just say, oh, it's just a joke. No, the words that you say actually matter, and you're actually giving credence to the devil or giving him power in the lives of the people you're speaking to, or even in your own life, by simply either overstating him or understating him in the way that you speak about him.
Stay away from them. Like how they do, okay, bad example, but like how in Harry Potter they don't say that dude's name. You guys know? No, okay. I'm the heathen, clearly. How they call Voldemort, he must not be named. Like, they don't say his name.
He's just
a person.
I just never jumped onto the whole
My defense, I read the first one, then I burnt all the other ones. I had the other ones, but I didn't read them.
Should have sold them.
I was told that, hey, when you burn the books, the flame will be green.
You see now.
It's just normal.
Yeah, and I think this is very important, like you said, Kowaza, that we do need to debunk, or at least start to address some of these things, because, just what you're talking about right now, the amount of times that we use devil references, right?
Yeah.
Jokingly.
Yeah.
And it all seems innocuous, harmless, but what's it doing to our psyche and how we actually then view evil?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Are we done with this point? Because I wanted to...
This discussion is a three-part series, so the discussion continues in episode 90 and 91 to follow.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.